Amen. Let's pray. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Bless this morning that we have together to study your word. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So, here we find ourselves halfway between Christmas and New Year's. We're winding down another year and looking forward to 2014. It is customary this time of year to look back where we've been, what we've been through, and to begin to look forward to where we're going to go. It is also a time when some make New Year's resolutions, goals that we set for ourselves to improve a certain aspect of our lives or the lives of others around us. As you ponder such a thing, can I encourage you to take it seriously, to clear your mind of the busyness of this world, cast aside your worries, your wants, and your desires? Perhaps find a quiet place to ponder these things and start with the basics. Ask yourself the simple question, why am I here? The atheist would tell you that we are products of random chance and processes. They would say there's no reason for our existence. For those of us that are Bible-believing Christians, however, we know that we're here because God has created us. Let's refresh our memory a little. Let's open our Bibles to Genesis chapter 1. Where else to start but from the beginning? Let's look at verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And let's jump down to verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created us as a very special creature. We were given the likeness of God, and we were given dominion over everything on earth. So let's go to verse 31. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. So it was very good, and that's the way God created it, and that's what he willed it until, and let's go to Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than the beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Now, of course, chapter 3 is where Satan enters the picture and tempts Adam and Eve into rebellion, and they fall for it. And that sin, that rebellion, severed our relationship with the Father. But hold it right there in Genesis. Let me read to you something from Romans. I'm reading from Romans chapter 6, 23. It says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Death here means the separation of the soul from the body by which life on earth is ended with the implied idea of future misery in hell. Not a good thing. So even though man rebelled against God, God had a plan. He sent his son that we once again could have fellowship with the Father. And he had this plan all along. He gives us a hint right here in Genesis. Let's go to Genesis chapter 3, verse 14. And the Lord God said to the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. So, this is after the serpent convinced Adam and Eve to rebel against God, and judgment was pronounced on the serpent, and later on Adam and Eve. Note the it in the last part of the last verse that we just read. It, the seed of the woman, shall bruise thy, Satan's, head. God's plan of redemption. Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary. He was born of the seed of the woman. Okay, so we know that God created us, but why? I think it's summed up quite well in Revelation. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 4, and let's go to verse 11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. He created us for his pleasure. He created us out of nothing, but we were created for his pleasure. God is our Father in heaven, a Father that loves us and wants to fellowship with us so much that he sent his only Son into the world to live among us and to die for our sins. We just got done celebrating his birth last Wednesday. Let's turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 3. Most of you will be familiar with this verse. We're going to jump to verse 16 in chapter 3. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. All right, now let's turn to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 15. This time I'll wait for you to get there. Sorry about that. Okay. When Jesus died on the cross, the Gospel of Mark tells us in chapter 15, verse 38, and the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. Now, often when this is studied, people pass over this. But this detail fascinates me. As we know, the Lord came and died, and the Lord came and lived among us and then went to the cross to die for our sins. And when he died, you know, our God is a God of details. Now, why did the Holy Spirit inspire Mark to write that here? Why this particular detail? Well, the veil was a curtain that divided the holy place from the Holy of Holies in the Jewish temple. The Holy of Holies was the area in the temple that was off limits to anyone except a priest that would once a year go in and atone for the sins of the people. I don't know if you've heard this story. Often when the priest would go in there, they would tie a rope on his leg because nobody else was allowed in there. And if something had happened to the priest, they wanted to be able to drag him out. This is the place where the Ark of the Covenant sat. It was supposed to represent where God lived on earth. The curtain was torn from the top to the bottom to symbolize that that barrier had been removed by Jesus Christ and his death on the cross. The price for sin had been paid for in full. We can now have direct access to the Father if we accept the free gift of his Son. By accepting Jesus' gift, we go before the Father in the righteousness of Jesus. But our God is a gentleman. The barrier has been removed, but he does not force us to enter into his presence. We have a choice in the matter. Let's turn back to Revelation, and we're going to be going to chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. He has invited you. Will you open that door? Have you opened that door? Most of you know that I'm a grandfather. My grandson, Caleb, which most of you have met, is my first grandchild. He'll be 17 months tomorrow. I love to spend time with him. He has an interesting personality, and we're all still learning about it. Sometimes he and his mom come over and visit Grandma, my wife Debbie, while I'm at work. When I come home, he'll toddle over to me and then immediately begin to show me all the things that are new to him, what new things he can do, what toy he's been playing with, what puzzle he may have solved, all done by pointing and toddler talk. To me, it's kind of like a game of charades. Caleb is the actor, and his mother and grandmother interpret for me as I try to guess what he's trying to tell me. He's excited to see me and wants to show me stuff. So I get down on the floor with him and play with him and his toys. But probably the thing that blesses me the most, though, is while I'm sitting there playing on the floor, they'll stand up and walk over to a bin where the books are, and they'll grab one, and he'll walk back over to me, and he just turns around in front of me and kind of backs up and plops himself in my lap. That's his way of asking me to read a book to him, and it brings me great joy in my heart when he does that. Caleb's action brings joy to this grandfather's heart in the same way that we bring joy to the heart of our Heavenly Father through his Son Jesus. When we take the time to grab his word, the Bible, and plop ourselves in his lap, it brings great joy to his heart. He so wants to have fellowship with us. As we study his word and talk with him in prayer, we learn the truth. We learn his will. As believers, the Holy Spirit is within us and teaches us and points out things in our lives that we may want to change to please the Father more. So, back to our 2013 review and our plans for 2014. Will you commit to spending more time with Jesus in 2014? He looks forward to spending time with you. Perhaps make a daily appointment with him. If you do, he'll be there waiting for you. He'll be there even if you don't make an appointment. Spend time with him reading his word and praying. You can read through the Bible with him. You can use our Daily Bread booklet that we have available out in the foyer, Keys for Kids, or some other guide if you'd like. It doesn't have to be fancy. Perhaps reading isn't your thing. There are all kinds of resources available for listening to his word and hearing it taught. We have a radio station locally called 99.7 WZXV, the frequency of heaven. That's a great station to listen to. Great teachers, great worship songs. I listen to it all the time, actually. Whatever it is, can you commit to spending more time with him, the God of the universe? He wants more time with you. Remember, Christianity is not about religion. It's about relationship, our relationship with Jesus. If you do that one thing, you can forget about your other resolutions. Let me show you why. Turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, please. Very familiar verse to a lot of you. It says, but seek ye first. I'm sorry, verse 33. Did I tell you that yet? Chapter 6, verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. If you spend time with him, developing your relationship with him, you'll be seeking the kingdom of God. God will provide all these things. Now let's jump ahead to chapter 7, verse 7. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that seeketh, that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom, if his son ask bread, will give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give things to them that ask him? We've just celebrated Christmas. We mothers, fathers, grandmothers, grandpas, cousins, and so on, purchase gifts for our loved ones. What kind of gifts did we buy them? We usually go to great lengths to figure out what our loved one would like and to purchase it for them if it's within our means. Sometimes a child may ask for something that would not be good for them. I know little boys sometimes ask for a real pocket knife. If the boy happens to be 5, we might choose not to buy it for him at that time. And we don't not buy it for him because we don't like him or we don't love him, but because he's not mature enough to handle the responsibility. We don't want him to do something that can harm him or someone around him. We don't give because we love them. Our Heavenly Father gives in the same way. He knows infinitely more about us and what is good for us and what is not good for us. He gives to us out of his abundance in wisdom and love. And when we ask and it's in his will, he gives. And sometimes he'll say no, and sometimes he'll say later. But we have to trust in him that he knows us the best. and gives us accordingly. Let's turn back to the Old Testament, Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah, one of those minor prophets. That's kind of a hard one to find. Ezekiel, Daniel. Okay, chapter 29, verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. So he's got our best interests in his mind. But don't commit to spending more time with the Lord because you want more stuff, like he's some kind of genie. Do it because who he is and what he's done. He is wonderful counselor. He's mighty God and the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. I want you to dedicate some time with him. One more thing before we go. We're about to become busy preparing for Pot Faith. We've studied the Word of God today, and Cardi faithfully teaches us every Sunday and every Wednesday for many, many years. I'd like to challenge you a little bit further. I pray that this won't be a stretch for you too much. Let's turn to the book of James, chapter 1. I know a lot of Bible turning today, huh? Right before the book of Revelation. So I'm in James, chapter 1, verse 22. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be the hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed indeed. It's important as we go into 2014 that we also commit to being doers of the word. We can come here and listen and fill up, just like the Dead Sea in Israel. Water comes in, but nothing comes out, and it's salty and dead. When we study the word, the Holy Spirit will convict us in certain areas. We need to take note of these areas and take action that the Spirit has shown us. This will result in being blessed, as the verse says. And I'll, you know, you often sit here and you'll hear Cardi teaching from a book or something, and then all of a sudden, oof, you know, you feel something in your heart's been exposed by the word. And that's the way the Holy Spirit is working in us to cleanse us. That's why we talk about when we read the word, we're being washed by his word, because it exposes that. If we walk into the bathroom and look into the mirror and see lettuce stuck between our teeth, do we just walk out and forget that it was there? Not likely. That would be like the foolish man that James is referring to. No, we work and do whatever it takes to remove it, huh? We should be doing the same thing when the Spirit speaks to us. We should work straight away and resolve the issue he has shown us. The Word of God is like a mirror to our souls. How about when you're out somewhere and a loved one tells you that your hair is sticking up? Don't you find your way to the bathroom and look in the mirror and see if it's so? And if it is, resolve the situation? We should do the same when someone points out that we are wrong about how we've dealt in a matter. We should go to the Word of God and see if it says anything about the matter and what it says. If there's correction required, then we need to hop to it and correct it. Let us not be just hearers of the Word like the foolish man. Let us be known as doers of the Word. Don't use forgetfulness as an excuse either. If you're like me, I've been forgetful in my life. And as I get older, it's only getting worse. And so I'm starting to learn that I need to use tools, and that means taking notes. Because fortunately, in the bulletin is a place for you to write down notes. Or if you have an electronic device, maybe you want to record it there. But let's just avoid being foolish. So we've got a couple more verses here. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Okay, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And finally, let's turn to Isaiah, which is in the middle of your Bible, chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing hereto I sent it. God and his word should not be taken lightly. I am thankful that it does not turn away void. Well, that's all I have this morning. So what about you? Will you take the time to reflect on where you are in life? Can you commit to spending more time with Jesus? Can you be a doer of the word and not a hearer only? Let's pray. Lord, I do thank you for your word, and I thank for you for the way that it's truth, Lord, that it's unchanging, that it's something that we can always turn to. And Lord, I thank you that you are our Heavenly Father. You love us so much. You are not a cosmic killjoy, as so many people make you out to be. Your desire is just to gather us in and to hold us tight. Help us, Lord, to see that. And Lord, as we walk around this world, a world that's been impacted by sin, help us, Lord, to remember as believers that we are just passing through. We're just pilgrims passing through. And that our destination is eternity, Lord. So, Lord, help us to sit at your feet and to study your word, to remember that you were there. Help us not to just go about our lives aimlessly, forgetting that you're there, Lord. We were created for your pleasure, so help us to keep that in focus, Lord. So bless our time together this afternoon, this morning, the rest of this morning, and bless our meal together, and bless our fellowship. And we do lift up our pastor, Cardi, and I pray you give him an extra blessing today and help him with the rest of his trip and bring him home safely to us, Lord. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.